So how are you anyway?
I am just fine anyway.
Good.
Good.
I do want to take a sip of a beverage because I'm going to sound... I know what I'm going to tell you is going to sound... And I'm not BSing you this time, like I'm nuts.
Well, please, make sure your throat is lubricated and ready to go.
Well, I've accepted that fact about me. I mean, I have you not accepted it yet?
No, this is a Frida thing.
Oh, okay.
This is a nutty Frida thing that happened to me today, and I wrote it down when I got to work.
Okay. You got my attention.
Okay, now, this is like nothing creepy. I just don't, I've got to think that it's real. But see, I'm going to sound like a friggin' idiot. This is not how I wanted to start the show today, but this really just happened to me. I got in the car at 10 minutes until 2. I'm running way late today because of the dogs. One specific dog. One dog that soon is going to be shipped to Thailand and will be someone's dinner.
Right. Make him a shrunken dog? Or someone's lover.
Yes. Or right. Maybe a nice shrunken head.
I think they've got that over there, too.
But
in Thailand.
So I'm running late, and I get in the car, and I go to turn the radio on, and the thing just gives me the screen. Nothing happens. It's like, crap. Well, all right. Screw it. I will just drive along. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving along in silence, and when I got about 5 minutes from my house, I swear to Christ that I heard Frida say, "Can you hear me?" And I said, "Yes." And I had a conversation with her. And I remember some things that we said. Something happened that was incredibly, I thought, spooky. And really, I woke up. It was not that I woke up. It's one of those things. I know people do this all the time. Right. When you're in the car and you're driving and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm where I thought I was going to be.
Right.
I really...
We have no memory of the commute?
I have zero memory of the commute.
Mm.
And I wrote down very specifically what she said. Because I think this is weird. This might just be my nutty mind.
No, it doesn't matter.
But there was something happened that had to be more than a coincidence. Okay? So bear with me. The first thing she said very distinctly, as I'm driving down the road, okay, she said, "Please have mercy on my soul." And I said, I don't follow that. I realize this sounds stupid, but I did say it. I'm saying it to the air, and I'm hearing her voice in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing it, like, audibly
through
my ears or through speakers or anything. I'm hearing it in my head.
It's almost like you're having a dream, but during the day.
Yeah, and I am aware enough.
You're able to drive. You're behind the wheel, but this is in your...
I'm noticing while this is happening. I'm looking at the clock. It says, like, 1:57. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of my mind that's thinking, I'm running about 5 minutes late today. But on the other hand, everything's okay because, well, I'm talking. And then I said, because what I did, this is why this sounds so weird. Because I thought, well, if this is really happening, I'll just think the answer. So I just drove on for about a minute, and then I very distinctly heard her say, "Hello." And I said, "Hello." And she said, "Have mercy on my soul." And I said, "Why?" And then she said, "I'm sorry I had to leave." And I said, "That's okay. I know this sounds nuts. What I remember, I'm just going to write down what I remember that she said. Sorry I had to go. Of all the loves in my life, you are the one I see when I open my eyes. My heart is happy. I'm in New York City. I'm in our apartment." And then at that point, I do remember where I was. I was right at the 270 Beltway split. So I guess this has been going on in my head for like 15 minutes.
Right.
Then at that point, it's like for a second I came out of it. And I thought, this is nuts, really nuts. And then she said, "I swear to Jesus Christ." I heard her say, "Do you not believe me?" And I said, "Sure," because I'm still hearing this voice in my head.
She said that to you?
She said, "Do you not believe me?" And I said, "Sure." And then she said, "Turn on the radio." So I turned on the radio, and I don't know, whatever song was on. It was on XM7. Mm-hmm. That's the channel I listened to, the 70s channel.
Right.
And they played a jingle, and the very next song was Everlasting Love by Carl Carlton.
Wow. Wow. That was your song.
So you tell me if that's not weird. That, like, flipped me out to the point that I thought that I should... And I don't want to derail the show, and I don't want, you know, I'm certainly not trying to do what you did the other day, you know, by coming in and throwing a curveball that's going to make everybody feel oogie, but I thought that I should mention it, that I think it's real. I think it's real. What?
Get the F out of here, Tommy. No, I'm sorry. I just, it's the only line that could, it's a Goodfellas line that popped into my,
No, I mean, who's to say, you know?
How well? I mean, listen, I'm putting myself out there. I know I sound like a retard.
Oh, you know, I can hear the typing.
Now we can move on
with the show. I can hear the typing right now.
Now we can move on with the show.
But I mean, it's of interesting things that have happened in this past year or so, right?
Well, what do you mean, Buzz? I mean, I did have a dream back around March that I remember very distinctly.
And you talked about the note that you found and just other things that fell into place unexpectedly.
Well, the reason I believe it is the fact that I really did when I was in Jamaica, I did have a dream with Frida. She said, "Let everything go,
mm-hmm.
just let it go." And really, I told you guys when I came back into work at that time that I felt like a load had been lifted, and right away, the show just starts to get right back to where it was. And,
you know, this could be a second career for you,
or I just could be totally out of my mind.
It could be a question of upping or reducing your meds.
Or it could be the super glue.
That you sniff before you... Well, that you always sniff before you come in here.
Well, let's be honest, we all do. And my bottle of greenies.
Well, you don't think for a second that you're alone in having this, regardless of what the...
I'm probably the only one that would be dumb enough to start a radio show.
What would you say if somebody called in and you know, what are you going to say? Because you know it's going to happen. People are going to call and say, I've had a similar experience. What you're saying
is... I don't want that.
I know you don't want that.
Then we're going to sound like the Ellen Cunningham call in the radio psychic show.
Yeah, but don't you think you come by it honest? I mean, not that we do a whole show like that.
No, don't you think...
But wait, hold on a second. Don't you think that seriously that if you experience this, that you would hold out the possibility that other people could experience the same thing? And you have been quite a skeptic for years and years.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm still kind of skeptical. That's why I'm not even...
Are you skeptical of yourself?
No. I mean,
what just happened happened, right?
No, I have 100% in my soul believe what happened just happened.
I mean, you're accepting it as something that happened, and you're not necessarily giving us the reason it happened. It might be a conversation.
I don't know the reason it happened.
It might be a conversation you had in your mind because your mind wanted to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what the odd thing is?
Turn on the radio. Yeah. And also when I got in the car, the radio did not go on.
Right.
And I didn't turn it on until I was like 5 minutes away. And really the way my mind works, I thought, oh, crap. You know, now I got to listen to CDs. Awesome. I could turn around and go home, get the other car. No, screw it. And then that's when I heard her say, hello.
You know, the only thing that strikes me as odd...
Everything?
Not really. In New York City? Is that where she? Are you aware that's where she was really happy?
Yes, that's. Well, don't you remember? Mm-hmm. I mean,
I remember she liked it up there, but I didn't think she was like. That's where she always wanted to be.
She loved it there. Yeah, that's why we got a place up there. Because she loved it. She loved it. She loved being up there. She loved everything about it. So, anyway, that's that. So, it's a good thing I didn't get in a wreck today.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
On the way in, because really. Mm-hmm. I do not remember about arriving here today. Like I said, the 270 split, when I heard her say turn the radio on.
Right.
And then that song came on. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought, what the hell just happened? And really the next thing I know, I'm on Executive Boulevard. I'm pulling into the station.
Well, you know what's interesting is that this happens after of, you know... I don't think you ever get over something you've gone through, but a significant amount of time has passed. You came to a crossroads where you said you decided to really move on. It took you the better part of a year to do that. And that has happened already. So the fact is that now, you know, you're kind of clear about your life and where you're going. And so then this happens, and it's almost, you know, it's just interesting that that happens now. I mean, that would be the last thing I would have expected you to come in and
talk
about.
Me too. That's why I brought it up. Okay. So, like I thought, it would really get the show rolling.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, let's eat.
Like I said to you the other day.
Well, it's an interesting
That's
deal.
What you got to do sometimes.
Right.
So,
you got to come in here and
let me think.
You got to come in here and talk about what's happening in your life.
Joe, I am seeing the calls that Joe has. Joe, I don't want to talk to Tom Gavin. I don't want to discuss with some guy if I think these things have happened to Bart. Okay? Guys, let's just leave this as my nutty episode that I shared with you today.
Right.
Okay?
And I mean, I think that good. That's... you know, when you say something like that, you can't dismiss though the import of it. I mean, I think it makes all of us who, you know, who've been there with you through all of this think about that, and anybody who's lost anybody think about that.
The thing is,
possibility. I mean, I think it's kind of neat. I really think anybody that's lost anybody thinks that it would be wonderful, and I hope it's not like in your mind. I hope it really, you know, that maybe there's on some level. I have a very open mind when it comes to that stuff, and I hope on some level it's. There's a reality to it.
Well, see, I mean, I know that there's stuff.
There might be and there might not be. You know,
there's stuff that I've not mentioned on the air. Like my mother-in-law has said, God bless her, that, you know, she's seen Frida, that Frida has shown up at her window, and that my sister-in-law, Robin, has said that she has seen Frida. And I hear this, and, you know, I don't disbelieve them.
Right.
But I leave, and I think, well, you know, hey, where's my wake-up call?
This is a topic.
I never discount the reality of people that say things like that because – I don't question their sincerity that they actually had that experience. Now, why they had it, you know, that's
this is an area Frida was very interested in. I mean, she paid attention to this, did some reading about it.
Yeah, and the reason, well, to get really in depth with you, right after Frida died, one of the things that I did was that Michael Keaton movie, White Noise,
right,
about the guy whose wife died. I would like walk around the house and say, you know. Hey, come on. I think you've got the gift. You know, talk to me. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
Right.
The toes. I mean, I really would do that. Mm-hmm. Like because I thought Frida was into that.
Saying, anybody.
You know, come on. Come through the TV. Come on.
Right.
Something. Give me a message. Mm-hmm. Something. Mm-hmm. You know. And after a while, you realize you're just freaking idiot. That you're just walking around the house, just talking to the corner, you know, saying.
Yeah, well, as I say once again, anyone that's gone through that kind of a loss probably has similar feelings. I mean, that's. I know when my father died, I was. You know, I was standing at an ATM the day after I'd come back from planning his funeral, and a breeze came up, and that was all. You know, and I wanted to believe that was him in some way on a very calm day. Everybody, I think, in a way, you want that, and you have to discuss: is it because you want that so bad that happens, that's why it happens?
Yeah, but here's the thing, really, and I'm not being disrespectful towards Frida because she was the love of my life. But and to say I've moved on is wrong. I will never move on.
Right.
But I've accepted it, and that's the best word to use. I've accepted the fact. If there's a button I could switch, I would do it.
Yeah.
I would flip that button. I would give anything to trade places,
right,
to have it never have happened. I can't. I can't change it. And I came to that conclusion about 6 months ago,
right,
and that's when I started getting along good with my girlfriend, and
right,
she's cool with me talking about freedom. I'm sure she's cool with me discussing this now. I mean, everything in the show started to get hot again, and I'm feeling good about work, and then I'm just, you know, so this caught me
boom
out of the blue.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
It's not like I've been obsessing about freedom recently. It's
no,
not
you
like,
haven't.
It's not like I've had anything that would set me off emotionally.
Right. Did this get you emotional at all when
no,
it was
and
done?
That's the other thing.
Very calm.
No, I'm not. I was excited. I had to stop myself when I got to work today from coming in and coming up and telling you.
Right.
You know, that's why I didn't come upstairs to the office.
Right.
Until like 2 seconds before the show.
Right.
After the episode is done, did you find like comfort in it? Did you find it comforting or exciting? Or
I don't like your questions, Dr. Phil. I don't like having serious discussions with you, Rob. You're good just as the jester.
You have to keep it with Rob on a certain level. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, like, look at that big head over there.
And I like the dynamic of his microphone, which is really more in the background. It's kind of strange right now to hear you because you're really like.
Well, that really is the way Rob should be heard on the show. Unless he,
if at all.
Unless he's got something truly important to say.
Right.
So anyway, that's what happened. I believe it's true. And let's move on with the show.
Keep us posted.
Yeah.
No, I will. I'll be waiting for the next bulletin. You know, I see, that's the thing. I think it happens.
Who knows whether it's going to happen with frequency?
I don't think so.
If it happens every day,
here's the other thing.
Talk to somebody.
I did get the feeling that it was a one-shot deal, and it was, and this is just the feeling I had. It was a one-shot deal, and it was, hey, I'm okay. Are you okay? Love you. Don't believe me. Here's some proof. I'm fine. See you later.
Right. Cool.
I mean, that is the feeling.
Very cool. Complete.
That I had from it. Ooh, excuse me. I just
you know, every movie I see, every TV show I see, I respond to that part of it when they have those kind of shows emotionally more than anything else.
See, but I never believe that. I never believe that, in a movie.
Yeah, but you know, you
never do.
Did you ever experience loss like you've had? You've never experienced anything like that.
Of course, never.
And it's when you lose somebody that's close to you, it's just, I mean, you kind of hope. I mean, what it's, sure, you know, I mean, you hope. You don't know whether it's sure. Who knows? There are no certainties, but you hope that it's true. I would love to think that that's true, that there's something floating around. There's another consciousness. There's another level, whatever you want to call it. Man, I would hope so. I mean, to me, that would be. But, you know, you talk about heaven all the time and your idea of what heaven is, and you give your theories. And there's my phone. That's fantastic.
It's heaven calling.
Now let's see who right that. Now. You know, right. This could be very important because we're having a discussion. Who is it from, Mike?
Hello. Hey, Alden, Mike O'Mara, the Don and Mike Show. I'm on the air right now. Yeah, you finally called me after 3 hours. I really appreciate it. Go listen to the radio, okay? 106.7. Thank you. Guy working on my car, been trying to get him to call me back for 3 hours, and that's when he chose to call me back.
Is that the guy with the golf ball problem?
Yeah, it's the guy with the golf balls in my car.
You know, Mike,
I'm turning my phone off now.
Mike said to me yesterday.
I took my expensive sports car in to get it serviced.
He's got this fancy car, and he didn't know what was wrong with it.
Right.
Right? You heard some rattle or something?
Heard some rattling.
Yeah.
Guy calls me yesterday and says they're golf balls under the seat. Boy, was I embarrassed.
Yeah.
And what, taking him a whole day to get the balls out?
Yeah, I got a rip on the seat also that wasn't there. Huh. And you know, that I didn't put there, and it's been there. Uh-huh. And he's saying he couldn't do it, and then he was going to call me back, and he finally calls. You know, it's typical. It's the way, you know, you try to call people. I put, seriously, no less than 6 phone calls into this guy today, and this is when the guy finally calls me back. I don't expect anybody to know that I do a radio show.
Can I relate?
But it's very, very frustrating.
I've been waiting for a year and 2 months for Frida to get a hold of me, and finally today she did.
She called, and
I pissed about that.
Nobody's nobody's getting a hold of me. The one thing I was going to say before this gentleman called me was my idea of heaven. It's very simple. My idea of heaven would be that you get reunited with everybody that came before you, that meant anything to you, that you loved in your life. So, you know, when they talk about the golden rule and living a good life and stuff like that, people you have fights with, people that you have tension with, they go their separate ways. But people that have meant anything to you that have left, you actually have a reunion. That, to me, would be heaven. I mean, that would be because you've seen everybody that you loved in your life. And it goes on and on and on. That's it. That's my little theory. And I just hope, you know what?
I need a small room.
You know what? It'd be your room.
I wouldn't need, I mean, I've, you know.
It would be your room.
Just kidding.
It would be, you know
all,
what?
For all of my people up there.
Some of us.
I would just need a double room.
But see, but you'd be comfortable in that room.
It'd be like 4 or 5 people up there.
But don't you agree?
You know, I imagine you get up there, it'd be 100 people. I get up there, it's Frida and Big Frida and, you know. Sorry about that, Big Frida.
You know,
I mean, eventually.
Yeah, of course.
You know, seriously, I think that it's.
Sorry, slipped out.
But it would be your room. You'd be comfortable in that room. You know what I mean? Hope it's true.
Are there clouds?
What?
Is there
clouds? No, I don't know.
See, when he asks his questions.
Why do you piss us both off when you talk about this? I don't hate you.
No, we don't. We don't hate you.
I think he and I would both agree. We'd probably like to see you in that room for just a short period of time.
I'll tell you what, you might as well stop by. I'll be the first one up there. You're going to be coming to see me.
All right. So anyway, that's weird. That was.
How does it feel? Can I ask you one more question? How does it feel talking about it on the radio?
Feels
different.
Good.
You seem different talking about it. You seem.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's like I feel like you want to say more.
Nope.
I feel like you want to say more. No,
all I want to say.
That's it.
So I mean, really, I just wanted to to report it. And I didn't get like an order from above. You must go on the air and talk about this.
You must tell everyone to follow you. No. Follow you and drink the Kool-Aid now.
And listen, for all I know, it's the barbecue sauce I had last night. You know, for all I know, it's a gastrointestinal thing.
Who knows?
Perhaps it was a you know, I had a creeper, you know, and the smell of my own fart rendered me temporarily unconscious, and I got delusional. Uh-huh. Who the hell knows?
You gave yourself an impromptu Dutch oven.
But I did feel so strongly about it that as soon as I pulled down to the parking lot, I wrote down everything that I remembered and thought, boy, I better come on the radio and talk about it. Because I'm an ass.
See, that's what I mean. Why are you insecure about it?
Because
you have poo-pooed it for your entire life on the air. You have talked about the idiots that we get calling in and stuff, and now you're doing it yourself.
Yes.
But you're not going to change your ways.
No.
You're going to continue to poo-poo those idiots.
Yes.
You're going
to
continue to run them down.
Yeah, I think if it happened, hey, listen, she was a one in a million woman.
Sex show. What's that show she went on with her sisters?
Oh, that John Edwards show.
John Edwards, Crossing Over.
I thought about that, too.
Yeah.
You know, but that guy's a carny.
He is a carny.
He's a carny.
That's our theory. I'm with you on that.
Love
Rob, I love that show.
That is a fake show.
I love that show.
That's a documentary.
And I don't love that show for the reasons you might think.
The Breast Whisperer.
I'll tell you something about the show that's real.
Or are they? Have we ever had that on a list? Is that
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yeah. Are they real?
Real and spectacular, Jerry.
I love that show.
Real and spectacular. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I missed the segment that he was just talking about his.
Hi, first, please, friend. I'm he, and Mike's he also.
Hello, and hey to that guy that called me from the car dealership with the golf balls in his seat. Sorry,
you're on the air. Turn down.
Damn it!
Turn down your radio, please.
Hello.
Turn down your radio.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, Mike.
Robin and John Norman know that when I came in here, I was bitching about that also. So I come by that. I was bitching about the fact that guy didn't call me back. And he decides, you know, finally, the one day of the week, I forget to turn off my phone and he calls me back.
At least you're not married to him.
That's right. I'm not married to him. But now it'll be another 6 hours getting back in touch with the guy.
Friend?
Yes.
Oh, no, I was talking to the friend on the phone.
Friend on phone. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just a little... You know.
Sure. And that's how I refer to Mike off the air as well.
Friend.
Good. Okay. What's up, Sherlock?
What I was saying. Oh, you're talking to him again.
He doesn't call you Sherlock.
I know he doesn't call me Sherlock.
Not anymore.
And he's just gone.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
He was a giggling, babbling fool.
He is just gone.
Crazy fool.
Calling Donna Mike.
Hey, crazy fool.
You fool.
Crazy fool.
All right, well, hold on. The phone's got to reset now. Touch the button.
Find the love button.
Zippers.
Can you say love button?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Squeeze the button. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I've always thought that was very specific.
Pinch the button.
Need the button.
God talking to you.
What?
I said you must stop condemning me.
God damn, these callers are stupid, aren't they?
See, there you right away.
Hello.
He gives you a direct order and you violate it.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mr. Geronimo.
Yes.
How are you today?
Fine. How are you, Mr. Asswipe? I kid, only because I know that's your last name.
Right.
I just wanted to share a similar experience. I lost my wife about 3 years ago.
Oh, well, now I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I should have just referred to you as AW, not Mr. Asswipe.
Okay. AW.
I apologize, AW.
But what happened with me was there was this family that my wife knew that basically took advantage of her financially before I met her.
Why am I feeling this is like an episode of Ricky Lake? Hello?
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he's gone. Oh, I had it right the first time.
You know, I was waiting for the second part of that would be there was a family to manage her, and they all spontaneously combusted.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I think you should consider yourself lucky. I've lost several people in my life, and I haven't heard jack from them. So.
No, I do. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I really
special.
Do. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. All right, so maybe I'm not nuts. Maybe I'm not totally nuts.
Maybe not.
100% nuts.
You're not alone.
What do you mean, in being nuts?
No, you're not alone with having experiences like
I think
that.
Other people do.
Except I still don't believe. That's the thing. I mean, I believe.
You don't trust yourself?
I believe it happened to me. But
you think it was in your mind?
No, absolutely not.
That you believe.
Absolutely not.
You must believe.
That you are a believer.
I'm a believer in what happened to me, but not what happens to other people.
There you go. God. That's pretty. That's
there
healthy,
it is.
Healthy
and
skepticism.
There, ladies and gentlemen, and there it is. I give you Exhibit A.
Okay. Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
You're right.
Okay. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here he is now. I'm sorry. We're going from one thing to another real fast, Mike. I'm sorry. We're flying.
All right.
We want to thank Frank Caliendo, who just got done doing the Letterman show. And here he is now from
hey, Frank.
From New York. Hey, hey. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are doing great. Saw the thing on Letterman where it said upcoming guest.
Right.
And it said author, or excuse me, director, John Madden. So, I will tell you exactly how my mind works. I don't know why I thought this, but I saw this on the program guide, because that's the kind of tool I am, that I look at the program guide.
Right.
And then I went to frankcaliendo.com, where it said Frank will be on the Letterman show on October the 5th. And I thought, John Madden. Frank Caliendo.
There's a connection there.
So I asked Rob to call, and without giving away what you did, how did it go tonight on Letterman?
Well, the funny thing was I did my impression of the director, John Madden, tonight.
Oh.
How'd that go over?
Nobody got it. because I've done it already and they can't edit me out anymore, I will tell you what I did. It's a surprise. I'm a fake guest tonight. They tell the audience and everything that John Madden's coming out. And they're billing it like that and everything. The football, announcer, broadcaster, Hall of Fame coach, by the way. Boom.
Yeah. Boom.
I got the yellow jacket. I've never even been to Georgia Tech. And I came out there. I was the first guest up as John Madden. Just did the interview. It went great, And, at one point, Dave goes, I don't understand that the whole all this football stuff and these crazy rule changes, it's kind of difficult. I said, yeah, I know the feeling, Dave. I have no idea what any of that stuff is either. it went over very well. And after tonight, John Madden will hate me more than ever before.
That's a good tease. I like that.
Who cares about that, Frank? Because Letterman will love you more and more. Do you find, especially after that last appearance, when it was obvious, I think we mentioned this to you, that Letterman was just over and over during the show pounding the fact,
right,
this guy, Frank Kelly...
Yeah, well, that's why they had me come on and do this all as John Madden in the makeup and everything. And he even tagged one of my lines with, and that's what that's all about.
Wow.
Which is what I said last time. So,
oh, man, you're golden with that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well,
on
I'll tell you, 99% of other shows in the world, maybe even a higher percent, I would never do this for it. It's about 5 years past where I would do this for anybody and go and do it. But it's Letterman.
Yeah.
So you just have to go, you know what? I said to my manager, I go, this will set me back years. He's like, listen, man, kiss the ring, buddy.
You got to kiss the ring. And everybody does that for Letterman, right? I mean, Letterman more than any other guy, I think, uses celebrities and uses people in the business in little cameos more than anybody else. It's great.
But this is more than a cameo.
Right.
This is like, I would say, if you're... old enough to remember, it's like if Johnny Carson had somebody on that he thought, and I remember like with Albert Brooks, he would have Albert Brooks on when Albert Brooks was no friggin' buddy in the world, like you, Frank. And he would come on and he would kill Johnny Carson. And that got his whole thing going. If you've got Letterman's attention to the point that they're going to book you as a guest just so Letterman can get his nut,
Come on.
That's pretty
That's
golden.
It. Yeah.
It's great because he, I was told it was obviously something that he really wanted to do, and when it did very well. So they're talking about what other stuff could we do. I go, how about me come on as me and talk to him? How about that? How about he lived the dream? When I got off, everybody, I walked out the back, everybody clapped for me, and then some of the people go, you made the boss laugh.
That's a big deal.
That's
hey, Frank, do you bring your Mad TV Fox makeup person across country with you? And do they travel with you, or did they bring in some gunslingers to do the makeup? Because I know it's pretty involved. I mean, how did that work?
Yeah, well, I brought the guy that does it for the NFL on Fox stuff for me. I'm done with Mad TV. I'm no longer on the show now. So, he came with me, who used to do a lot of my stuff on Mad TV. He did it and put it together. It's actually a pretty doggone good makeup today. We got a new wig and stuff like that for the Madden, so it looks more real. And it,
oh, great.
Yeah, he's going to be angry.
When we had JB on a couple weeks ago, we were telling him that the opening weekend of the Fox show was like the tribute to James Brown, even though he no longer works there. And your JB that you did was better than the one you did where all four of you guys were sitting around the table.
It definitely got better.
Really, I mean, that is a lost art. Oh, and speaking of Mad TV, when Bobby Lee was on this show last week.
Oh, was he talking trash about you, Frank?
Watch me dropping names like we have people on the show all the time. he said, "You suck ass."
Did he say that with his pants on or off?
Ah, there you go.
No, he was.
That guy gets naked more than any guy who thinks he's heterosexual ever that I've ever met.
I think he commits to the role, doesn't he?
Yeah, Bobby's a very funny guy. He's funny. We all we ever did, and I know this sounds stereotypical, but all we ever really did was play ping pong at Mad TV. You always think of Italians and ping pong. But
do you miss it? Do you miss doing the Mad TV?
Not a bit. I didn't have any fun there anymore. So I actually have a pilot for TBS that's my own sketch show that I'm going to call Chappelle's Show.
You've been asked that question. He's been asked that question before, I guess.
Are you still?
I do have a pilot for TBS and another one for Fox Sports Net that's kind of like going to different cities and meeting the fans and stuff. So it's, I got one of those things will happen, or maybe I'll just appear on Letterman as different people all the time.
Are you still doing your stand-up everywhere?
Yeah. I'm traveling around right now. Like next week, I'm in St. Louis and Western Michigan and stuff like that. And I'll be out in D.C. at some point. I think we're looking at like April of next year or something like that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you still as wonderfully insecure as you were when you were here? And I mean that as a compliment.
I mean, as far as like selling out shows and things
You were amazed that people were there for your whole show and that people were like standing up and cheering and stuff. You're still getting great response. You got to get great response, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, but, you never want to, I don't think I'm insecure about selling them out. I just want to get them sold out so I can make as much money as possible. That's the thing for me. For being away from my family for 4 days or whatever, it's always about, I got to maximize my amount of time so then another week I can take off or go down a couple of days and just do 2 days somewhere.
Frank Caliendo, working comic.
If you don't mind asking, when you're on Letterman, They pay to fly you out, and they put you, I'm guessing, in a nice hotel. Do you get just scale for doing that?
$1,000, right around there. I think the makeup guy made more than me.
And as far, it's not like a Saturday Night Live or anything like that. You're done. You basically get in the, get in your car, get in your limo, get in your cab, and go back to the hotel, right? There's no cast party afterwards, is there?
Yeah, I'm flying out to, flying back to LA to shoot my NFL bit this week, which oddly enough is it's a Letterman sketch where I'm playing Letterman and Paul Schaefer.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's the top 10 differences between Rocky and Howie Long because we're in Philadelphia. Number 10, Rocky's been to at least one museum.
Good, good, good. And when you're on that Letterman show, how high is that band?
I mean,
can you smell the weed? Can you smell the weed on those guys?
I was wondering. I smelled some stuff around before, and now I realize where it came from.
Well, you're a good man for calling us, and we appreciate just coming off that appearance and got to fly somewhere else. Please, everybody, watch Frank. He'll be the first guest on the Letterman show tonight.
Yeah, it'll be. I know it'll kill you. Don't even have to know what it is to know
Frank,
it'll kill.
Frank, you're the greatest. Thank you for checking in.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, dude. Bye bye.
That's Frank Caliendo.
Very
from,
talented
Fox
funny guy.
NFL yeah. Sunday, and he's got some stuff in the works. And I do miss him on Mad TV. Yeah. I forgot that he's not on there anymore.
You know, that's
got
to be good for him though. If he leaves and they say the big man laughed,
you made the boss laugh. Yeah. That's what they said. You made the boss laugh.
Very good.
But now Letterman is like anybody in the business too. How long before he wants him again? When he starts going to the well. I mean, if Frank was concerned about doing it this particular time, because if it works, I mean, Letterman. Look, the bottom line, we're one step above circus clowns in this business. But when you do anything on a daily basis, if it works,
you run into the ground.
They're going to want it again and again and again. He'll want him to be Alan Coulter. He will.
Yeah.
He'll want Madden again. Bring Madden out, and it'll be like the Chinese lady.
Well, that's great.
Except funny.
Right, except funny.
Right.
That's great for Frank. And I meant that as a compliment when I said that he was insecure. I remember that I remember Janet and I left the stage area of the Improv, mm-hmm. waiting for him, and we went out where there were people lined up to get his CD,
right,
and his DVD, and
he actually hawks it. Right?
Yeah, he's out there.
Was
like
he sitting at a table?
Yeah, and he's like, "Hey, I've got my DVD here, and I got my CD here." And as people would walk in, "Did you really like the show? Did you really think it was funny? Do you think that I went too over the top with that? Did you really have a good time? I'm glad you had a really good time." And I mean, he wasn't putting on an act.
He's humble.
It's different than a lot of comedians approach it. You know, like a guy like a Seinfeld, I think, would be sequestered somewhere.
Who wants to buy my DVD?
Well, I saw that documentary with Seinfeld, you know, where they have him back in the green room.
Oh, that
is a
great
one. The guy comes walking in and he's like, not now, not now.
Right.
He's doing his whole pre-meditation.
And isn't that the same one? I forget the name of that.
What the hell is that documentary?
Comedian. I seen it because there's that one scene where he's sitting there with Chris Rock and he's sitting around like a
and they're talking about Cosby doing 2.5 hours straight.
Yeah.
And how impressed they were with that. You know, it's but you know, I think it depends on the type of guy. He is so real. When we talked to Frank Caliendo, he's like the answer he gave you was I want to make money. I want to make money, and I'm 4 days away from my family. I want to make as much money as I can.
Right.
That's the real way of looking at it.
Yeah. One time, I went back to him and I said, "You know, we're running a few minutes late." He says, "Don't worry about it. As long as I can get as much time as possible to sell as many tickets, you make me wait all day if you want."
Yeah,
and that was so genuine.
He is a pragmatic comedian.
He really is, and a nice guy. Just greedy.
A nice greedy comedian.
Uh-huh. And the last thing he said that'll make me watch it tonight, maybe even stay up to watch it,
is
when he said, "This is the one that might make Madden mad."
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because
you know what's going to make me stay up and watch it? I got a new wig.
Because the word was that Madden was not thrilled with the stuff. When Madden worked at Fox, every once in a while, Frank would do the bit where he would come out with, like, hot wings, and he would just have the sauce all over his face.
Yeah, because Kimmel was his entree, right? Kimmel used to bring him on.
Because Jimmy Kimmel would use Caliendo as the Madden guy, and they would come back, and none of the four guys would be laughing at that. They come back and, like, okay, thank you very much, Jimmy.
Not funny.
All right, anyway, do I really have to tell you this? The David Letterman Show airs on CBS television.
I believe it comes on right after your local news.
Check your local listings, everybody. So good for Frank. Thank you very much. We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Michael.
I wanted to come.
You are a part-time dad.
I'm a part-time dad. I wasn't able to go to Catherine's very first lead role in the play. It was at 2:00 today, which incidentally I told him perfect timing. But I wanted to congratulate her because I just got word that it was she was a big hit.
Yay.
In 45 minutes from Broadway. And she got all her lines right and sang all her songs great and did a little dancing, little song, little dance. And the question that I got during the break was, Daddy, are there colleges that you can get into for acting?
Wow.
I believe she has caught the acting bug. She is.
I'm
Well, and I'm honest with her. I told her there are plenty of colleges that do that. But
the Juilliard School.
This was acting camp. This was the camp where they go and they, you know, it's like the local camp that
That's
they
where
do.
That's when isn't it around acting camp?
Well, you were in theater arts.
I didn't major in it enough, but VCU has a wonderful theater program.
Wonderful theater program. And apparently, here's the best news of all, the director of this show who ran the camp said, you know, would you like to, he wants her to audition for the regular, you know, community theater group for another play that's coming up. So she's totally into it. And,
good.
You know, I want to say Catherine Mary O'Mara.
Yeah, I agree.
Congratulations.
Right. I agree.
I got it all on videotape, too, so I'll be watching it tonight when I get
the
home.
The reason I said part-time dad is because that's what you said to me when you came in the room.
I said part-time dad. I gave the...
I thought it was because the videotape was screwed up.
It did. I messed up. I got the last number, which has the singing, dancing, and the line, you know, where it's like, it's an old, like, I think it's a 1920s play where it's like, wow, we'll put on a show. It's one of those kind of shows.
It was written
by
George M. Cohan in like 1920.
And it is really, you know, it's
Did
really
Did you ever
old.
Hear of Kong?
He knew it.
They
knew
talk
that.
About it in the movie Yankee Doodle Dance.
Honest of a Kong!
And he knows that too.
Just 45 minutes
Kong,
from Broadway.
The eighth wonder of the world!
Shut up! The changes it brings.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Of course.
Thank you.
She just sang that like, you know, minutes ago.
Yes, but She sang it better than I did.
Yes, she did. And then, you know, at the end, and then it's like, you're a grand old flag. It's one of those things. So, yeah, I'm a little jacked up, and I'm looking forward to watching the videotape tonight and seeing that. And I said, you know, I look forward to seeing in person many more shows.
She met Robert Duvall recently. Did she get his number?
She did. Maybe she should do that. I don't know whether to be delighted or terrified that she's shown an inclination for that area of endeavor. I'm very excited about it.
Cool. Psych.
Always treated me well.
Always treated you. Look at you, Rob.
Look at me now.
Absolutely.
Here's my thought.
She can end up like you.
She could let her.
I'll be a happy papa.
I know how a lot of girls get started in showbiz.
Yeah. Oh, you mean that way.
Yeah.
Don't want to say anything else.
Now I thought you were going to read a story about it. You were putting your glasses on.
Oh, no, you had
me terrified there for a second.
I wanted to read something else. It's just,
yeah. My daughter, pal.
I know, not your daughter.
I'll still have the shotgun.
Not your daughter.
The shotgun that I'm planning to buy not 2 years from now when she's 13 years old.
But God forbid, you know, somewhere out there right now there's a dad who's getting a call from his daughter, and she's saying, Daddy, I've made it. I'm making my first movie tonight. I proved you wrong.
Oh, my God.
What's the name of the movie? The name of the movie is...
we have to come up with one of those
Shaving
names.
Ryan's Privates.
No! My God, no!
In Diana Jones.
In Diana Jones.
Wow, that's terrifying. Yeah, so it is a little scary.
Good for you.
Yeah, she's really good at it, and she likes it, so that's fine.
Cool.
And that's the thing, the modern parent, you have to say that. You know, if the kid likes it, if your kid likes something, you don't push, but you actually encourage, and that's what I did. No, I was kind of... they heard me outside. I was kind of going out of my mind.
She's a little proud because she gets it from you, you think?
I'm sure she does. I mean, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I think she does. And her grandmother and everything. So it's very, very cool.
That's why I keep pushing my kids.
When you say, grandmother, you mean your mom.
My mom, yes. Yes.
Stop it. Yes.
Trying to make...
I understand. That happens to be true.
Just want to make sure we all know exactly.
My mom did theater, you know, did plays when she was in high school. And so that's it, true.
That's where it comes from. From your goo.
Stop.
I'm just trying to give you a compliment.
I understand. Thank you. And I know you are, and I appreciate it. So.
You and your mamo.
Yep, mamo.
You and your mamo.
86 years old.
Wow. Well, good. I mean, good for you. That's great.
Yeah, I'll be calling her on my way home, too. So good. She'll like that, too.
Don't you call your mommy every day, though, really?
No, I really don't call my mommy every day.
You don't call her every day on the way home anymore?
No, not every day, no.
You used to, didn't you?
I did that the first year after my father died, and then the second year, and it kind of, now it's like once or twice a week I call my mom.
Oh, I thought when we would leave the old place a lot of times.
Used to.
Right away I would see, I'm talking about it, not when your dad passed.
What? She stopped picking up. No, it's not that. No, what it squarely falls into, Don, is that I treat people the way I'd like to be treated.
And that's right.
I just, in fact, I have gone most of the week without a call up north, and I plan to do that this evening.
Perfect.
I've been shirking my responsibilities. I really saw. But, you know, I saw her at my niece's wedding and stuff like that. I'm sure she's fine. She's got people up there. I care about my mom very much.
Sure you do.
I do. I love her to death.
Sure you do.
I don't like that word death, not at 86. No. I don't.
You know. So, you know, so she doesn't have AC.
You know what I'm saying? She lives in New England.
That's right. Doesn't need it.
She lives in New England.
She does, though. Tommy French put the wall units in middle of the summer.
You know why they call him Tommy French?
Yeah.
No charge. You know, Tommy French is a kid.
Oh, God damn.
He's a kid in my neighborhood that has, it works for the city of Manchester and lives in Glastonbury in my hometown, and actually has been very helpful to my family over the years.
I love Mrs. O'Mara.
He does not speak French.
Mrs. O'Mara.
French name.
Mrs. O'Mara. Notice you're wearing a house coat this morning.
Oh, God. Oh, she has had a very... She's probably had a... He's done more things physically for her because he lives up there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Jesus.
Hello!
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Sacre bleu!
You can't win here.
He's a good boy. He's in the will. He's a good boy. He really is. Very good. He is. That's the truth. I think. That's what she says.
Is he in your mom's will, really?
Yeah, well, my mom doesn't have any, you know. I mean, we didn't grow up with a lot of money, so there's not a lot in the will, but I think that, yeah, she's going to, you know,
but there's
she's going to give him a little something.
Cabana boy?
I really do believe that at the end he's, going to get a little something, and we're all for it. I don't mean get a little something. Nothing I can say, and I am not trying to say these things.
Right. Anyone doing it.
They're just coming out that way. So to speak.
What would Freud say?
Good guy. Really, really good guy.
Who's a good guy? Freud?
Tommy French.
Hello!
Really, really good guy.
Yeah.
You'd be crazy about him if you met him. Do anything for you.
How old is he?
He's older than me.
He do anything for your mom.
He's older than me.
You called him a boy.
God, I hope. Well, no, I mean, you know, he's a good guy. Well, he was a boy when I was growing up, like I was a boy.
How old is he now?
He'd be in his 40s, late 40s, early 50s. No, he'd be in his late 40s. He's a couple of years older than I am. He was, you know, he's got like...
Imagine him on a lazy Friday afternoon.
He's a handyman. He's a handyman, and he does other things.
Laying in bed with your mom.
Can I tell you?
Hey.
That reminds me.
Hey.
Hold on. No. I saw, have I mentioned this? The grossest movie. It's the best movie.
Somebody please has to help me with this. This was on the Independent Film Channel. And I know it's been on HBO before, and I've seen it before. It's the movie about, the name of the movie maybe is Mother. And it's not a movie about incest.
It's not the Albert Brooks thing.
No, it's not the Albert Brooks movie.
Right.
What it is there's a woman, a lady who's in her 60s, and she's kind of frumpy. I think it's a foreign-made film. And she ends up having an affair with a guy who's a lot younger than she is.
How old is she?
She's like, I'd say 60.
Right.
And he's like 28 or 29.
Okay.
And... I mean, it's like spit out your nose funny when you're watching it.
Are they trying to be serious about it?
Yes, they're very serious. And there's one point when they get done with their tryst, and he goes over in the corner, and he's pulling on his blue jeans, and she leans over in bed, and you see the old veiny puppies come out. They go all the way with it.
Really?
And then later...
It's a foreign film?
No, they speak American. I'm sorry, okay. They speak English. And later... When she is out, I don't know what the plot is. If the guy that is banging,
banging the 60-year-old
banging
woman.
The mom, maybe is also the boyfriend of the daughter, because at one point they're all out together later at some type of function, and the daughter knows what's going on,
right?
And the guy's looking at the mom, and the mom really is not a piece of ass, but he's looking at her like, oh, I want you so much, and the mother's looking back at him like, I want you so much. And the daughter is holding hands with the guy as they're walking down the road. Anyway, does anybody know that the name of this movie?
Yes, it's the Tommy French story.
Or was this, just something that I was just hallucinating about?
Good dream, though.
I mean, really, what a great movie. It's so oogie. It's fantastic. Hello, Don
Scary.
And Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And, Mike, that's what made me think of your mom, because there is one scene that just really, you sit there watching, you just go...
Well, I'll call her tonight, and I'll pass along your... I'll ask her if she knows anything about that movie. She watches a lot of movies at the DVD store.
She watches them at Blockbuster?
Well, she buys them. You know, she rents them. She rents them. Doesn't go out to the theater as much as she used to.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You are on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, good morning, as you said.
Hey, I have one question for you. I was pretty much... I want to know, how come Mr. 40 didn't do one of your opening shows?
Can you start over again?
What do you mean?
Mr. 40 that often comes on your show. I haven't heard him in a while. I was wondering how come he didn't write a jingle for your show.
Because he didn't send one in.
Yeah, we don't know. We'd have to ask him.
Oh, because I'm pretty much looking forward to hearing something from Mr. 40.
I'm pretty much looking forward to your better cell phone getting better.
Are you a Mr. 40 fan, sir?
Say again?
Are you a Mr. 40 fan?
Forget that. For goodness sakes, we could be talking about some guy boning some guy's mom.
Haven't heard from 40, I think, since January.
Hello, Don and Mike.
40 Year Grady.
Hello.
I thought you were talking about Harold and Maude at first. But
no, not Harold and Maude. No. Absolutely not. I mean, much more explicit than Harold and Maude. I mean, there's a scene where this broad rolls over, and you just see her old lady breasts.
Eee.
And you see this guy who is not like a model, but compared to her, he's like, he might as well be, Tom Cruise.
Right.
And he's just shagging up his jeans. Just,
and he thinks nothing of it.
No, she's...
Well, you think he ought to be going, oh, no!
She's drinking wine, and she's rubbing his back, and she's telling him what a great great lover he is.
He's rubbing her feet.
Huh? Hello, Don and Mike Show. What is the name of that movie? Hello.
I think it's called Swimming Pool.
No, it's not Swimming Pool.
Oh, I have it. It's called Between the Toes.
that is a great commercial.
Between the Toes.
And nobody out there knows.
No.
I'm totally alone on this.
I guess so.
But I think... I think I've seen it either on IFC Sundays, but maybe on one of the HBOs as well.
You can't tell what country it came from, no recognizable face.
You know what I think? I think it's a British movie. Now that I think about it, the more I think about it, yeah, boo.
It stars Steve Guttenberg and Eileen Brennan. I believe that's who stars in it.
Huh? As Tommy French and Mary O'Mara.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
With Steve Guttenberg.
Help
as,
me.
As Tommy French.
And Eileen Brennan as Mary O'Mara. No! Why am I playing along? Stop it.
No, come on. We get, who would we get to play your mom? How about, you know what? I know it's a cliche because it was in the movie, but Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, only
good.
Not blonde. And my mom's, you know, well, it's gray
well,
now.
I mean, yeah,
but,
I mean, you know, you take liberties with movies.
Right, right. Who Debbie Reynolds.
Who would play Mike?
Of course, Albert Brooks. Mother. The protective ice.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Wonderful cheese.
Hello. Hello.
Buzz, can I go camping?
Yes, yes. Meet me here at 7.
This is Pilar.
No, it's not Pilar.
You are a fake
imposter. No, you can't. Is that a man doing a woman's voice?
No, it was a lady camping at the bakery.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You are on the air.
I think that just might be called The Mother.
You know, I think I said that was the name of the movie.
The Mother.
Okay.
But it's
hey,
M-U-T-H-A.
Hey, Johnny, would you do a search or somebody, or Buzz, somebody do a search for it? Let me know. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I think that's the name of it.
You may have found it.
Because I think I said that. I think I said Mother.
You
but
said
not
Mother
like,
or something like that.
But not like the Albert Brooks movie.
The Mother.
The Mother.
The Mother.
Tanya, it'd be a great movie to watch with a bunch of guys.
The Mother.
When you just get drunk and playing cards, have it on in the background.
A grandmother has a passionate affair with a man half her age who's also sleeping with her daughter. Would that be it?
That's...
Yep, found it. Wow. The Mother.
Tell it. Is that... When was it made? What does it say?
2003. And it does appear to be British and maybe partly German. Wow. Judging from the people involved. But they're speaking English, which is good. And no one I recognize in the cast.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's a serious movie.
Yeah.
Serious movie with this guy rolling over this old lady.
Well, there it is. It's right there. And it's a grandmother. Right.
So go ahead. Knock yourselves out. You want either to be totally turned on this weekend or do you want to vomit in an incredible form of projectile?
And let's not forget the comedic value. It also has comedy value.
Yeah. Now, if you're with the right people and you're drinking, you know, partying, it's really a laugh riot.
Sure. Got a DVD player on that camper you're bringing up there?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.